Right now, this very second, you are not the only one praying about your life. Jesus himself is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. And the Holy Spirit is praying for you with groans too deep for words. What if you walked into your hardest meeting, your driest season, or the legislative session knowing heaven's courtroom is already in session on your behalf? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Hey, I hope you're enjoying these daily devotions. And if you are, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender app in the huddle. That really does help us to change our hearts so that we change the public square. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. You're helping us move the mission forward, which is defending and advancing biblical values in the public square. So the difference between our mission and our goal is to change hearts so that we change policy, right? So policy is the outflow, the collective outflow of all of our hearts across Washington State. And so we need to get into God's word and let it change us. But we're going to do that by defending and advancing biblical values in the public square. So that's a little bit about our mission and our goal. If you haven't downloaded the Washington Defender app, please do that in the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. It's Washington Defender. Just look up Washington Defender and you can download it there today. We're nearing the end of I Am Convinced. And today it's about Jesus is interceding. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verses 33 through 34. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Romans 8, 33 through 34. Now, don't forget, earlier in the chapter, we see that it is the Spirit who intercedes for us, in the same way the Spirit who also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So we have Jesus interceding for us. We have the Holy Spirit interceding on our behalf. And we're praying. Can you believe that? So we're going to look at a prayer from Jesus, about Jesus or from Jesus. And are we convinced that he's interceding on our behalf? So John chapter 17, verses 1 through 2. Now, some of this prayer was directly related to the disciples, right? And so we're going to learn from that, and there may be some application for us. But I want you to think about if this is how Jesus prayed for his disciples, maybe that's the way that he is praying for us in heaven today. Who knows? We don't know. But it is a great way to learn God's word. So John chapter 17, verses 1 through 2. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. So Jesus is possibly interceding for us that we may have eternal life. Think about that. The Holy Spirit's interceding for us. Jesus is interceding for us, but very specifically, that you may have eternal life. You say there's like 8 billion people in the world. How does he do that? I mean, how does he intercede on behalf of so many? He's God. He wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. Verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So look, he's interceding that you may know the only true God. This is his intercession, that you may know the true, only true God. And this is so powerful, because when we understand his intercessions to the Father is that we may know him. You may be thinking today, wow, I've never thought about Jesus interceding on my behalf that I may know the only true God. Verses 4 through 6. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. So we see that Jesus is interceding that you will understand that you are the Father's. In other words, you belong to the Father. You are his possession. If you are born again, you've confessed Jesus as Lord, and you believe that God raised him from the dead, and you've received that gift of grace, that by faith, then you become the Father's possession. Another intercession he's making is that you will keep God's word. Do you realize that he really does care about his word, and he wants you to keep it? Jesus is making intercession on your behalf that you may keep God's word. Let's read on. Verse 7. Now they have come to know that everything you have given to me is from you. For the word which you have gave me, I have given to them. And they have received them and truly understand that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. Jesus is interceding that you will know everything given to Jesus is from God the Father. Now think about that. He wants you to know everything is from God the Father. He also wants you to know this, that you understand that Jesus came from God the Father. From eternity to eternity, from beginning to end, from all of eternity. I don't know if there's two eternities, but you get what I'm saying. For all of eternity, he wants you to know that Jesus came from the Father. Verse 9, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. Jesus is interceding that you will know that you belong to God the Father. And that all things that are the Father's are also Jesus's. So think through that. Verse 11, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. That intercession of Jesus Christ is that you would be kept in the Father's name. You bear the family name. If you are following after Jesus Christ, you bear the family name, and he wants you kept in that family name. He's also interceding that you will be one with the Father and with the Son, that there would be a unity between Father and Son and you, that today he's making intercession that you would be aligned with the will of the Father, and that is also aligned with the will of the Son. Let's look at verse 12. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. Jesus is interceding that you are guarded by Jesus. He's praying over you, and that he's guarding you, and he's protecting you. But now I come to you, Jesus says, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Jesus is interceding that Jesus' joy may be made full inside of you today. Think about that. Have you ever thought about Jesus interceding that his joy would be made full inside of you today? He's making intercessions. He did this for his disciples, and he's doing it for us today. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus is interceding that the world will hate you for that because of the word of God. And we have this tension as we go into the marketplace. The tension is we believe in the word of God, and the Bible says what is holy and what is sinful, and that he mandates or requires or commands us to follow after the word of God, and the world hates us for it. And you say, but why? Because they want to live according to their own desires. John 17:15. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Jesus is interceding that you will be kept from the evil one. He's not praying that you get taken out of this world. He's not asking for the church or for the Christians to be in a religious bubble of some sort. He's praying that you'll be kept from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He's interceding that you will not be of the world, that you would not be a worldly Christian, a Christ follower of worldliness. No. He's interceding for you. He's sanctified them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus is interceding that you will be sanctified in the truth of God's word. Look at that. Sanctified in the truth of God's word. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent, what? Them into the world. Jesus is interceding that you will go into the world, that you will be the salt and light of this world. That could be through your voting. That could be through you participating in the legislative session by registering your position or testifying. That could be that you show up at work today with the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for people's sins and rose again, that they may have eternal life. But the fact is, he's sending you into the world, not to become like the world, but to be the salt and light of the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Jesus is interceding that you will be sanctified in truth today. Now think through that for a moment. Jesus is praying to God the Father, sanctify them in truth. Wow. He did that for his disciples. I'm pretty sure he's doing it for us as well. I do not ask on behalf of these alone. This is why I'm applying these intercessions or this conversation between Jesus and the Father to us, but for those also who believe in me through the word. So if you believe in Jesus Christ through the word of God, these are his prayers for you. This is his intercession for you, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus is interceding that you will be one as the Father is one and the Son are one. And this is why it's so important that we understand that unity in the body of Christ is incredibly important. Unity in our families, unity in the church, unity as we go throughout the state of Washington, that this will be what be unified. Now, uniformity is where we demand everyone to think alike, look alike, smell alike, talk alike, do the same things. But unity is something incredibly different, where our heart is for each other. And even if we have some differences, we have respect and honor and deference to each other. Jesus is interceding that the world will see unity and believe in Jesus. That we are unified. There's only one way to the Father. That is through Jesus Christ, the Son. And that this unity would bring us closer to the Father. John 17:22. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them. Wow. That they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as I have loved them. Jesus is interceding for perfect unity in the body of Christ. Not an absence from the world, not a distance from the world in any arena of the world, but an influence thereof. That we would influence the world for the gospel, with the gospel message. Jesus is interceding that through our unity, the world will know that Jesus sent me, was sent by the Father. And finally, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. Jesus is interceding that you will be where he is and behold his glory and his beauty and all that he wants to do in your life today. Can you imagine him praying that to the Father, interceding on our behalf that we would be with him? I don't know about you, but I can't wait to be with Jesus. You know, there's so much lawlessness happening in our land. There's so much corruption that's happening in our land. And I just can't wait to be in the presence of a righteous king, a righteous ruler over us. Oh, I guess there's one more verse. Oh, righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known you, that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them and will make it known so that the love with which you love me may be in them and I am in them. Jesus is interceding that we will know the name of the Father, the King of Kings, the true God, the living God. And he's interceding that the love of the Father and the love of the Son will be inside of us. That's what he is interceding for us about today. Now, you may be wondering, where did all that come from? John chapter 17. Go back and read it today. It is a beautiful prayer and interaction between Jesus and the Father, and he is praying for us. So what's our application for today? You may be going into a difficult situation today, into a place of dryness or dry land. Whatever it may be, Jesus is interceding for you. He's pleading your case before the Father. He's covering you with his blood. And he is making a way when there seems to be no way. He loves you. He's talking to the Father. He wants you to be with him. He wants you to behold his glory. And that day is coming so very, very soon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. And Lord, I do pray that as we go throughout the day, that we would recognize that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, that Jesus Christ is interceding for us, that we are loved by you, that you have called us to be unified as the body of Christ, to walk in the newness of life, not to be so divided, but to walk in holiness, righteousness, and your peace, God. So go before us in all things, and it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.